bacon and lettuce, homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a pig. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
All right, friends. It is time for another installment of In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski and me here in the station. This is Oren. Glad to have you here. And we want to say thank you to the Flower Farm. Spring has arrived out there, and they've got fuchsia baskets available and pansies and violas blooming. They're accepting orders for custom baskets, hanging bags, and planters. They're out at the Flower Farm every day, 10 till 4, except Wednesday. That's 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. And then they're also open Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5, at the Garden Center behind Love and Matters. And I do believe we've got Ed Bajarski on the line. Can you hear us, Ed?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you, Oren.
All right, wonderful. Well, I hear it's a beautiful, beautiful spring day up there in Juneau right now.
Yeah, even the ducks aren't exactly cheering, and the slugs are pretty darn slow, too. I suppose I should count our blessings?
I guess so.
It's challenging. I got my rubber suit on, and I think I'm as wet inside as out. And there's more gardening to be done today in the rubber suit.
Oh, dear.
So, then the hot tub later will feel really good, finally.
That sounds like a good plan. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. We're a little better off than you today, but I'm sure, you know, maybe you're getting the drenching we got a few days ago, and we'll send you our kind of partly sunny, relatively warm conditions here, and you'll get those in a few days, too.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, we're ready for some warm and dry conditions, warmer, drier. It is. Forecast is better for the weekend. I'm sure gardeners are going to be out there either raking their poor lawns to a fare-thee-well or digging in the dirt or something, starting some seeds, playing with potatoes, whatever it takes.
Yeah. Well, and so if people are ready to start digging around and planting or... you mentioned potatoes. I got my gears turning there. Maybe we should give people a little rundown of potatoes. You know, this is the right time of year to get potatoes started, is it not?
Yeah, it is. I mean, other years I've had potatoes planted in, you know, when I lived in Petersburg and Sitka, well, even in Juneau, as early as April 15th.
Hmm.
But this year is different. This year is, we are 2 to 3 weeks later, colder, wetter. I mean, April is normally our driest month. In Juneau, at least. Mm-hmm. And it started out that way. The first 15 days were that way, and then the rest of it has been just the opposite. Mm-hmm. So we've probably gotten 4 inches of rain since I got home from, a week ago.
Wow.
So it's challenging, yeah. So having soil warm enough to plant this potato chunks or whole potatoes is important, and we've talked about keeping your ground covered with clear plastic to warm the soil and to help it dry out. And then whether you are buying new seed potatoes, hopefully they have shown up in your stores down there. They have here, and I've got 200 pounds in the back of my Subaru that are, I delivered a few to a fella today. So they're not yet sprouting. These just came down from Palmer and minimal sprouts, but even those in my root cellar, which is in my very cold garage, are not sprouting to speak of either. Very different from last year. So we want to choose our seed potatoes, and it's worth warming them up, whether we keep them in paper bags, in the house, get them up to 60 degrees, 50 plus, let's say. But 60 degrees, try to get them to sprout. Ideally, we would like to have maybe a 1-inch long sprouts on them before we plant them. That would be good. And I know some folks, they'll take egg cartons and set set the small potatoes in egg cartons. I don't, however, necessarily recommend cutting the big potatoes into chunks more than a few hours, really, before planting. I don't. One of the recommendations sometimes is cut them, let them callus over, let the skin, the cut surfaces dry. And I'm not too concerned about that. I just don't get them in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So sooner is better. What do you see to be the harm in? Would they dry out too much? Or?
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, if you cut them, they are going to dry out through that cut surface and start to shrivel. Now, some people may have potatoes. If they saved some nice ones from last year and their storage area isn't as cold as mine, they may have, well, in fact, I was talking to another fellow this morning. He's got some that were in a warmer place in his garage, but it has a little bit of heat. And so he's got 4 to 6 inch sprouts on them already, and they're getting soft.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily bad, but you've got to be very careful with those long sprouts. You don't really want to break them off.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you have that long of sprouts, when you go to dig a trench, say in your garden, or if you're digging individual holes, then you lay kind of stretch, you can either coil, we were talking about this, possibly coiling the long sprout in that around that hole near the surface, and then just barely cover that with just an inch of soil.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to bury them, so if they're a 6-inch long sprout, you don't want to dig a hole 6 inches deep and have the tip of the sprout up near the surface, because then the chunk that you buried is deep and it's in colder soil.
Mm-hmm. So what depth do we want to start at? You said an inch there. Is that about right, regardless?
Yeah.
Of...
So, since, you know, knowing with potatoes, we want to plan for hilling the potato. We want to, as they grow, we want to bring soil in around them, up around the stems, so that where the new shoots grow off the sides of the vertical stems are where the potatoes will grow eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So, the way I normally do it, I'll dig a trench, or I've got 4 foot wide boxes. So I'll dig 2 trenches, the length of that box, whatever it is, down there 6 to 8 inches deep. I'll pile the soil kind of high up in the middle and then scratch a little bit of fertilizer down in the bottom. And then that's where the chunks of potatoes or whole small potatoes will sit. And I'll just push them in the soil a little bit. And then, like I said, just barely cover them over with soil. And then I'll throw plastic, clear plastic again over the top. So you've got these partial trenches. It's kind of, again, it's basically like a little mini greenhouse. In, you know, the trench there, the little extra heat from sun, I hope, will warm that up some more.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so then once those new shoots grow up 2 inches maybe or 3, then you bring some of that soil from the sides in to cover them up and then just leave the top of that to grow. And then again, another 2 inches. Until finally you've got so much soil in the box that it starts spilling off the edges. Or if you've got an open garden, you can keep hilling into maybe early July or so, you know, 1st of July or something like that, and then just let them go.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So the more you hill, the more sprouts you're going to get that bear potatoes.
Yes, exactly. And then that of course assumes that we've got some warm weather and that you're going to have to water a whole lot, but it'd be nice if we had to water some.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a good... I wouldn't mind that too much. Normally, I don't. I mean, normally, we've got plenty of soil moisture, even if we don't see much overhead moisture from Mother Nature.
How much moisture do potatoes want?
Well, I mean, a rough rule of thumb is for a lot of plants, really are... They talk about an inch of moisture, an inch of rain a week. So if you wanted to have your handy-dandy buckets out there and you're set out strategically in your garden, and you just see how much you get from Mother Nature, or if you're running a sprinkler, again, that the buckets will catch some from the sprinkler, too. And again, you can kind of see how much water you might be applying, you know, whether you or Mother Nature are doing the application.
Hmm. Yeah, that is a good rule of thumb.
I mean, normally I don't worry about watering the garden. I don't water them when I plant them. My soil is plenty moist even underneath that clear plastic.
Yeah.
So, again, the best thing we can do for them is really warming the soil pretty much for everything.
Right. Yeah.
Again, that warm soil helps prevent rotting of the seeds or the seed pieces. And it also helps stimulate the soil microorganisms to break down fertilizer, compost, whatever good stuff that you may have, so that the plants then can, the roots can access those nutrients in your soil.
So it's the heat there that's kind of activating those decomposers?
It definitely makes them work faster.
Yeah.
To a point. I mean, we don't want to cook them. We don't want to get them up to, 90 degrees would probably be a shock to most all of our systems, and certainly that applies to the worms and the bacteria. But again, most of the different beneficial insects, microorganisms, other in soil invertebrates and all that kind of have favored temperature ranges, I guess, kind of like us. We would like to see 60s and 70s at least, and 80s are kind of tolerable if we've got a shady spot to sit down and have a cold one. But definitely warmth helps. When it's like now, my soil temperature I suspect is probably 40 degrees. I haven't checked it, but that's considering it's only getting up to 46 degrees in my greenhouse during the day, I suspect my soil temperature is right around there. So if we can warm it up, it's definitely going to make stuff grow better.
Definitely.
Again, if you're thinking about planting seeds, most seed packets will have a recommended soil temperature for planting. I mean, for something like corn, well, makes sense probably that they like warm temperatures. 70 degrees is a great thing to aim for. Tomatoes or peppers, again, 60s to 70s for germination of seeds. Spinach can germinate at 40 degrees, but it'll germinate better, a bit warmer. It may be inhibited by too high temperatures. Peas or kale, again, can germinate at low temperatures, but they will germinate more quickly at warmer temperatures above, instead of 40 to 45, if you can get up to 55 to 60, they will pop up out of the ground faster and are less likely to rot before they sprout.
Right. Yeah, the seeds themselves rotting.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope we get some warmer soil then, by golly. And I think we will. It's
I mean, the indicators,
right around the corner.
If you're looking around your neighborhoods, I'm certainly watching in mine. So primroses are finally starting to bloom, the early ones, denticulatas. Blueberries are just barely starting to bloom. We now have two hummingbirds around the feeder. There was one last weekend. So it's been very, very slow. And all the other things, I mean, skunk cabbage is doing fairly well, but it's slower. And there was a spot near our ferry terminal where, well, it's been a while now, but I mean, we had a sunny day last week or a sunny few hours, and there were dandelions blooming, but not now. This weather, they just don't open up. And those dandelions provide food for a whole lot of insects, bumblebees, beneficials, and other stuff for pollination too. So that this cold weather may affect our blueberry crops, and not to mention the other crops that come later, may be the harvest time, at ripening and harvest time may be pushed back later because of it. So again, that's something to... if you're keeping track of such things in your garden log book or diary, certainly I am. Here, I'm writing down some of this stuff, although there's not a whole lot of stuff to write down yet.
Right, right. So when you're looking back on past years, do you make notes about when you sort of see reliable pollinators around in the garden?
Sure. Oh, yeah, definitely. I'll mention, put in there when I see the first hummingbirds. Or the first bumblebees. In this case, we had, when was it? Last week, I think it was Saturday. We had a warmer day. It wasn't raining. The sun came out a little bit. And the mosquitoes showed up. Now, so again, they're big, slow mosquitoes. So it's worth, but still, the male mosquitoes, unlike the females, of course, are the ones that want to bite us. but the males do some pollination.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of that, and there's, but again, there are not a whole lot of flies and other critters out there yet. And again, I'll make a note of the hummingbirds. Normally, in over 25 years or so, usually within a few days either side of April 7th is the first hummingbirds. Well, I say this year is 2 weeks later.
Right. Well, that, I guess that's just how it's going to be this year.
Yeah, there isn't a whole lot we can do. You know, we can build greenhouses and hoop houses and warm the soil, but there isn't a whole lot of other stuff. Build a big dome over your whole garden. I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
But even in my hoop house and my greenhouses, it's not very warm, but at least it's drier. So I have been working in there as much as I can.
Well, maybe we'll get a longer harvest season, you know, a lingering summer there to make up.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we gardeners are still an optimistic bunch. It's got to be better than last year. It's got to be.
Yeah. Well, you know, it must be. And we will carry on as though we know it will be, and we'll find out one way or another.
Either that, or there'll be a big run on high-powered bright lights and other assorted stuff to give the plants that extra bit of rays that they need. I don't know.
Yeah, we're not going to... There's no stopping us, by golly. We will grow plants. Well, we've got a question here. Like last week, it is our High Country host coming up next. Lars has a gardening question.
Yeah, hi, Ed.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, the question is, we planted this oak tree years ago, and it's going strong. It's about 10 feet now.
All right.
And but the problem is, I put it in the wrong spot. I have to move it. And I've noticed one thing about this oak tree. It comes to life later in the year, and it goes dormant not till about December, and it probably won't come to life for another month or two. I was wondering if it's too late to transplant it, because I have to move it here one of these times.
Sure. And this year I suspect you're not showing a whole lot of growth. This is a great time of year, assuming that your ground isn't frozen, and that's, well, you never know down there. Hopefully yours isn't. I was just digging to replace a tree yesterday, and I hit frozen ground 6 inches deep. So I guess I get to wait. But this is a great time of year, while the trees are and shrubs are dormant, to dig them up and move them. And if you aren't quite ready to do that necessarily this year, you can also prepare the tree for moving next year by taking a sharp shovel. And I suspect your tree, just like most everything else around here, has pretty shallow roots. Most things do, because you go down deep and it's cold and wet the deeper you go. So if you take a sharp shovel, now you said the tree is what, 10 feet tall, and maybe how wide?
Oh, maybe 2 inches.
Oh, 2 inches in diameter, okay.
Yeah, the circumference, I don't know what it is.
So ideally, going to say that if you take your sharp shovel and dig down, so if you look at the tree where the tips of the branches are, then they call that the drip line, and you come down from that and just in a little bit, you could take your sharp shovel, cut down as far as you can with it, and somewhere along there, I suspect you'll cut some roots, which is okay, because what you want to do is cut some roots, and then that will stimulate them to make more roots closer to the trunk, so that when you dig your tree, maybe next year, or even this fall, you could do it this fall too, then you'll be getting more roots, because again, the roots generally are going to be spreading out pretty far around. Now, oak trees in the Midwest and other places where they grow wild will tend to have more of a tap root. So that can be a challenge. But again, around here, unless you've got really well-drained soil, I suspect most of those roots are going to be in the top foot of soil.
Wow.
So you go down and cut down around do about half. So like you could do, or you know, like if you do compass directions, do it on the north quarter and the south quarter of the tree this year, and that, or this spring. And then you might even do that, if you're not going to move it till next year, do the other two sides of the tree this fall. And again, that way you're stimulating those roots closer, and then when you go to dig it up, then you can get more roots to move it. And whether you use a, what I like to use it very often, once I get it dug up and get a healthy friend to help you, tip it up and get a good old blue tarp or something like that. Sneak it in underneath so then you can get it onto the tarp and slide it across your yard to somewhere else where you can put it into the new, better spot.
Yeah, I was hoping to do it this spring, but I was wondering, when it comes to the roots, should I save every inch of root I can, or is there a certain place where you don't have to worry about it?
Yeah, I guess it depends on how easy it is for you to dig them. Again, you may not, you know, this time of year, I just brought in some bare root trees. The trees were dug, I mean, these were in nurseries, of course, but they dig them up with a big machine that lifts things up, and then they wash all the soil off the roots. You can, if you can get a whole bunch of the roots from underneath there, you can just about do that, unless you've got a really nice, unless the soil is sticking well to the roots. So, but the more roots you get, the better the tree will do. Knowing that you're going to be damaging some roots, no matter how careful you are, might be worth just being careful. And if you break some, then just trim them off. You know, if you've got your pruners handy, just clip them off clean. So just like if you're pruning branches, then you don't have a torn roots there. And you may even trim back some of the branches if you do see that you're damaging a lot of roots too.
Oh, it's good to know.
So you
So you figure that the more roots you get, the tree's food is, right at this point, before they start to grow, is stored in the roots. So the more you get, the more food you have for them to grow this summer. And then, of course, we got to hope that Mother Nature helps and gives them some sun so they can make some new food for next year's growth.
Is that normal for oak trees to come to life later in the year than to go dormant later in the year?
It is, well, particularly the late dormancy is very common because the trees that are growing here, that are adapted to our climate, know that our days get long very quickly in the springtime, and then they drop off very quickly in the fall. So, I mean, day length is a stimulator of either waking up or going to sleep, going dormant for trees, shrubs, plants, whatever, all of that. And again, the daylight hours for the exotic trees, like oak trees, they're confused because even though the daylight drops off faster, they don't, it's technical, but it's scientific. It's, you know, the tree doesn't get the right signal to go to sleep. Hmm. And so I have the same problem with apple trees. We'll have green leaves on them in October or into November. And then, of course, along comes the snow, and then you break off branches because that's typical. But the other thing is, too, with oak trees and with beech trees, both of those tend to hold their leaves, even though they may turn brown, you know, they tend to hold their leaves into the winter normally, even down south. Okay. You know, so if your oak leaves are turning brown, hopefully in October, even if they hang on until December, that's not necessarily abnormal.
Yeah, they don't even start falling off until December. First one.
Yeah, or you get a good windstorm and the leaves finally get torn off. But that part is fairly normal for oaks and beech trees.
Hmm. That makes good sense. Yeah.
That's good to know.
So your recommendation then to Lars, as far as having to move the tree this spring, is if he does get the sense that he's damaging a number of roots, he wants to trim back some of the branches up top to kind of keep a bit of a good
ratio
there?
Because, again, you're losing nutrients and you're losing, you know, some of the roots, some of the food gathering parts of the tree. So doing some top pruning is beneficial if you're damaging roots much. Mm-hmm. But again, this is if your ground is not frozen and you can do it, digging it now is a good time to move it.
Got it.
Okay.
And it's not expected to rain this weekend. Lars might be moving a tree this weekend.
Yeah, you might have to water it after you get it replanted. Yeah.
Wow.
There, get to it.
Yeah. That's fun, you know. The idea of watering something in the lawn literally makes us laugh up here.
I know. Yeah, we can hope we have to water. Got trees, lots of trees I just unloaded last week, and I've got them protected from the deer, but they're fully leafed out. But they're not too stressed by the hot sun. Hot sun, no, they haven't seen any yet.
That's good for now.
Right.
Cool. Well, maybe that's a good place to leave it. We got people started thinking about planting their potatoes, some good strategies to get started there, and realize this is a good time for working with trees, either preparing them for a move if need be, and
Even continuous pruning. That's one more thing I was doing today. So pruning can keep going. Again, those trees are just slowly waking up. But you're pruning some cherry trees. Go ahead, take some of those stems and put them in some water too, and you may be surprised by flowers fairly quickly.
Oh, cool! Yeah, that's a great tip for this time of year too. Nice. Okay, well, we'll leave it there, I think. And Ed, we just appreciate you so much. It's always a treat to find out what we'll learn from you, from Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. Until next week, then.
Glad to help people garden better.
Well, we appreciate your help. We need all the help we can get down here.
Okay, good enough. Till next week, Lauren.
Okie dokie.
Yep.
All right, we appreciate him so much. That's Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. And we also want to say thanks to the Flower Farm for helping underwrite this program. They've got fuchsia baskets available and pansies and violas blooming. And they're accepting orders for custom baskets and hanging bags and planters out at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing, every day but Wednesday, 10 to 4. And now the Garden Center is open behind Love and Matters there on Main Street, Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 5. And up next, High Country with Lars Christensen.
Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing to home.